we should do is issue currency debt-free and base it on time unit of value, as Ithaca, New York has done for 20 years. It's something that we can do tomorrow. We don't have to wait for a vote. We don't have to wait for our kings. We don't have to be damn slaves anymore. Anymore. Do you hear me? This is the silver bullet to destroy the parasitic systems which have robbed us of our souls, which have robbed us of our will to resist. But I think it's time for the Republic to fight back. Right here, right now.
Yes, right here, right now. You're listening to Mountain Hours Revolution Radio. I am your host, Wayne Walton, and I am broadcasting from Dredge Studio, which is in downtown Breckenridge, atop an iconic landmark restaurant, the Dredge Restaurant. Stephen Rockney is very gracious to allow this broadcast to emit this message of truth and abundance and a future which will be greater than our past. We are not pitching austerity. We are pitching abundance for the people. We are pitching and offering abundance and a real solution that can actually occur right away. We can have victory for the people, the global debt slaves, this year. And all we have to do is have the people take their own energy and put it into their own monetary system that they create for themselves so that they can be self-governing and have abundance. Well, thank you for listening. Today we've got a great show. In the first hour, we're going to have Edmundo Santiago, and he is here. And we are going to have him on for the first hour. He's somebody I know through our Facebook group called Architects and Engineers for Money Truth. You can look that up at AE, Architects and Engineers for Money Truth, AEMoneyTruth.com. And this is a group of activists and monetary reformists that basically where it's a system. Money is an energy system, just like an electrical system is, or a heat system is, or I'm a pool contractor, and I, basically set up a plumbing system, in effect, basically you want to make sure you have no leakage, so none of the energy or none of the water is lost, and you develop sufficient, and Edmundo is one of those members, and he is a regular contributor. We'll be on for the first hour, and in the second hour, we're going to talk about, and I'm hoping to take callers specifically as to how are we going to flex our monetary muscles in Summit County? What should be the first project that we take on? Should we take on the affordable housing issue? Should we get our existing builders and contractors, tradesmen, and build the first Mountain Hours house that's funded without interest? So in a 30-year mortgage, 20 years of that is interest. Well, we can create a 10-year mortgage. Do we want to express our monetary muscles that way, or should we take on health insurance? Well, we can start dreaming now. You know, you take care of the monetary issue. It's time for the people to dream. It's time for the people to have hope. And these are the discussions we have. We're not, we're going to have to raise taxes or cut benefits. No. The people of Summit County demand more because we have our own monetary system. We have dreams. Our future is going to be better than our past. That's how you take care of things. We solve problems. And we'll be right back after this message with Edmundo Santiago.
Are you ready for the real revolution, which is the evolution of the mind? If you seek, then you shall find that we all come from the divine. You dig what I'm saying? Now, if you take heed to the words of wisdom that are written on the walls of life, then universally we will stand, and divided we will fall, because love...
The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without the reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit. People counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers. MountainHours.com. Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because 1. It is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. 2. The money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. 3. The parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back. MountainHours.com.
Hey, aloha, I'm Joby Weeks from Breckenridge, Colorado. What are Mountain Hours? It's organic money that we've been using in Summit County, Colorado. That's right, you heard me correctly, organic money. How can Mountain Hours benefit you? Mountain Hours expand the local money supply and keep the money in the community. Mountain Hours promote and expand local shopping with an endless multiplier. Mountain Hours almost doubles the local minimum wage to $10, benefiting not only workers but businesses as well, who find new and loyal customers. Mountain Hours enables shoppers to afford premium prices for locally crafted goods and for locally grown organic food. Mountain Hours helps start new businesses and creates jobs. It reduces dependence on imports and transportation fuels. Mountain Hours will make grants to nonprofit community organizations and zero interest loans. Mountain Hours stimulate community pride and help everyone become more prosperous.
Join the Mountain Hours revolution.
You're listening to Mountain Hours Revolution Radio. I'm your host, Wayne Walton, and we are now joined with Mundo Santiago. Again, I know him through our Facebook group called Architects and Engineers for Money Truth, and he's a regular contributor there. And we have it starts off that, you know, we all recognize that usury is the problem within this group, and then we have discussions as to what is the optimal usury-free system. And most people don't even know about usury-free money, and we get into debates about various types of usury-free currencies. And Edmundo, are you there? Okay. Edmundo, just jump in. Did I hear you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, that's good. To start off, I was hoping, you know, to get into your path to awakening, you know, how everybody's kind of got a different path. Some people come through, you know, maybe food truth, and then they get, eventually it all leads to the money. You follow the money, and eventually you got to figure out the money. But what was your path to your enlightenment?
Well, first I want to say thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you giving me an opportunity to share my thoughts, my opinions, and now my story. I've always liked to know what the truth was growing up. Never understood lies or why people would lie, things like that. Not that I've never told a lie, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
And in college, trying to absorb things of this life that I did not grow up with. I grew up in a very specific demographic and household, working class family, immigrant family. And prior to all this, seeking truth, you know, I was seeking God, you know, the truth of the matter of all things. And in that, and being exposed to the Word of God really started to give me an insight into life in this world, myself and in the external world and other people. And one scripture that would always stand out was the one that explains that man cannot serve both God and money. And that was always something I'd struggle with, because I'm like, well, you know, as far as I knew, we all have to handle money and we all have to get up and go get it somehow in order for us to exist, to pay for our bills and the means of our existence. So I always wondered, am I somehow worshiping money and not God? And I would always struggle with that and trying to figure it out while I was getting a job here and there and just, you know, going about. You know, I wasn't born into a wealthy family, and there is no trust fund waiting for me when someone passes. So, and I worked for a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. You know, first job was fast food, and I was at 16, and then I eventually ended up managing some small businesses for people through the grace of God, just how I've been brought to those opportunities. But I was always just trying to see the bigger picture and wondering, why weren't my parents business owners, and why were they just workers? And other members in the family, they were always kind of like business owners. And what was the difference? Because it's not that they were that much smarter, but there was a difference. There was a difference of perspective and understanding of things. So having these jobs, working with these, under these people, running their own businesses, I was realizing, you know, oh my God, I'm making this guy a lot more wealthier, and I'm just settling for this an hourly wage. But yet I'm running the whole show. I'm running his business for him. So I'm like, how do I go from where I'm at to where he's at? How do I make that leap? How do I make that jump? And conventional thinking would be, oh, you get a loan, you do a business model, you write a business plan, and then, you know, XYZ. But I always wanted to find out if that was true. So, and it's funny how the world works. It's funny how when you really want what you want, desire in your heart, it's presented to you. I'm not sure if you ever had that experience like that, but when you really want something, you eventually get it, whether it's good or bad. So desiring to finally conceptualize, man, I got to work for myself. I got to do my own thing. But how? Started going to these seminars. I remember coming across, I remember running into a friend from church at FedEx. I was shipping something, and he was out there shipping or faxing something, and he just finished reading this book, and he couldn't stop raving about it. It was called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And for 15 minutes, he just blew my mind with all that stuff that he had learned from the book and how he was taking action from the suggestions in that book. So I was totally turned on to that. Eventually found my way to the bookstore, bought the book, started reading it, and I started to see what he was talking about. I started to see that there was a missing, an education of money, of finance, of how things work. I started to see, as Robert explains it really well, that we were purposely not taught, as far as people going to public schools and stuff like that in this country, purposely not taught of what money is, what it is not, how it works, how it functions. What we were taught was just how to go work for it, how to show up on time, make sure, you know, your face is clean, and you do whatever they tell you to do. You know, it was a continuation of school, what work had come about. So right there was a moment of discovery. Now, it was a challenge to put my head around those concepts, even though they, now I look at them and they're simple, But at first, it was just it was like a different language, and it's hard to conceptualize something that you never understood before, or you couldn't foresee. So that was the start reading that book specifically, and then I would go on and read another book, Richest Man in Babylon. Talks about doing secured loans. I don't agree with the interest part, but I agree about, you know, you lend someone something and you secure it. So that concept. Then I looked further into Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Now, that's a heavy book, and I don't recommend that, first off, for everybody, but that explains a lot. And then eventually I would peruse The Wealth of Nations. And that's when I really started to see the bigger picture of things and how man and man's labor is considered a commodity, and how there is this underlying slave status that is so invisible to most people and is unperceivable. And it's something that people don't even want to think about. They don't even want to consider this, especially if people are religious. They're like, oh, I'm not a slaver. And, you know, but it's just, you know, people just have a hard time really accepting the realities of this world and how the mechanisms really, really work.
And what degree were you pursuing?
I was pursuing a BA in communications, mass communications, and a minor in theater performance. I was baptized into Christ at age 22. And when I really considered my pursuits up to that point, I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to, you know, I was doing acting, I was doing theater, and then I was doing some work in Hollywood. Prior to that, I was pursuing music, so I was in a band playing rock shows in Hollywood and doing all that. But then when I had that change, when I was converted to Christ, I dropped all those selfish pursuits as the way they were for me. And then I said, well, how do I use my gifts and how do I use my talents to really forward what God's will is? And then, you know, and if people read the Bible, you could find out what God's will is for your life. So I chose communications to say, hey, you know, I'm pretty decent at talking. I could talk for a while. So I went ahead and got studied communications in school, and then I minored in theater performance because I enjoyed that. It's a lot of fun. And that, what's interesting is the college education, and I was on a 10-year plan, by the way. I didn't just blow through college like most people. I just took my time. I was really reluctant, actually, to continue school, looking back at the first 12 years of my quote-unquote scholastic career, you know, that we all are subject to, and you have to complete or else. So I grew a lot and learned a lot. And that degree, I didn't get the degree. I finished everything minus one test. And I kind of did that on purpose. I wanted to be successful before having that quote-unquote degree on the wall, which means that you've achieved and you're smart and all that. But that helped me realize that it taught me how to learn. Doing the research papers, doing the thesis, all that stuff taught me how to learn, how to actually think critically and look into things. So, and that has carried over the rest of my life. With the subject of money, I've really applied those certain precepts and skills to look into what money really is and not just take anybody's word for it. You know, same thing when I was studying the Bible. I just didn't take anybody's word for it. I had to really look into it myself and have a conviction from that. And it's when you really desire to see things for what they really are and not just accept them for face value is when you really get to see between. You get to be able to read between the lines, see the cracks, and see what most people don't, which is the reality, the truth of the matter.
All right, we'll be right back after this message with Edmundo Santiago and get deeper into money. Rhymes for the savior, false flags and erratic behavior. Water full of chemicals, leaks all the nutrients, fill the sky up with toxic pollutants.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A 1-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
Once again, that's former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan stating that we as debt slaves are governed by the Federal Reserve. They are the true sovereign, and that's why we get into this money topic so deeply is I like to say, you know, we were talking about the Bible a little bit, and this isn't just a religious show, not just Christian anyway. Christ, Muhammad, Buddha, many of the great prophets all spoke out against usury. It's a mathematic fraud which over time will aggregate all of the wealth in very few hands. That's what's happened to the entire planet, which is immersed in exponentially compounding debt. And the destruction of national sovereignty is a certainty in any society where usury is permitted. So there's monstrous disinformation in the money realm, and we wish to bring enlightenment to it, and that's why Edmundo Santiago is here to shed some enlightenment. And Edmundo, just like you were talking about, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and basically, you know, he gets into how we need to be business owners and that sort of thing. And then as you moved along from there, what was your realization that, oh my God, it's all of this illusion of government, it's just an illusion, just like we were listening to Greenspan say that the Federal Reserve makes the decisions. When did you wake up to that kind of monetary truth?
When I, after I picked up Rich Dad Poor Dad, and then I started going to seminars, I also jumped on the real estate bandwagon. This was back in 03 going into 04. I had no conception of the bigger, just the bigger picture of the way things work. So I was just trying to scratch out a living, stepping out of the conventional working for a living. And I had an opportunity. After college, I moved back home with my grandparents. And I think I had some little part-time job, and then, but most of my time was just focused on, you know, how do I work for myself? How do I make it happen? Well, I flipped a duplex, and 31 days later, I realized a big fat check from some of the quote-unquote equity that I created in there because I bought it so cheap. And it was 35 grand, and it should have been 100 grand after I did the math. I made some mistakes, but when I had, and I still couldn't believe that I made that amount of money in such a short amount of time with the knowledge that I had, and that was what was missing, just specific knowledge of things. And after I fly up to Sacramento to file my charter for the corporation, and I cashed that check, that's when it dawned on me. It really hit me, and I'm like, how in the world can this happen like this when I used to have to work a year for this amount? And then it really hit me. That's when it hit my conscience, you know. That's when it really hit me, and I wasn't, because I was also trying to restrain myself, still going back, considering, remembering what I've read in the scriptures, saying, hey, you know, you can't serve them both. And I'm like, okay, what just happened? Because usually other people just, you know, they go on a mile a minute, and they become a millionaire pretty soon. But I wasn't trying to do all that. Because I was more after what the truth, you know. So that was a moment of opening my eyes, but what I did not comprehend what I was looking at. So then I started to study out what money is, and that led me to, on the internet, a lot of videos, and the one that really started to bring clarity, because I believe this guy is honest, was Bill Still's productions. That one really long one that's like 4 hours.
Money Master.
Yeah. You know what? I had the time to sit there and watch it, and I really desired to know what was really going on. And I've seen that a few times.
Just for listeners so that they can understand that, Money Masters is a documentary that's roughly 3.5 hours long, put out by Bill Still, who's a former guest of this show, discussing the history of money and how it was created, and basically different forms of it. I apologize for interrupting. Go ahead.
No, not at all. Yeah, and that's and then, you know, finding out where did the money come from, as far as the money that we use today, like paper money, and how the goldsmiths would hold the actual what was considered value, the gold and the silver, and they would write out receipts, and that pretty much started to trade. Instead of the gold was trading around in the market, the receipts were trading. And that's where the idea of paper money came, with a gold-backed idea, all that. So, and that's where I realized, oh, this is how I can make such a big amount of money, because there are the money, you know, now we're going to, how do I put it in a sentence? There's a fraud going on. And I participated in the fraud unknowingly, because I created money when I got that property under contract for $715,000, and then I wrote another contract, sales contract, to the end buyer for $745,000 or whatever. I created money. I created debt, because money is debt, and that's a whole other hard to explain type of deal, but that's when I started to realize. That's when I started to see, oh, wait a minute. There's something kind of sleight of hand, and how does the whole system sustain?
Well, let me hold you up there. We've got a break. We'll be right back after this quick message. There's more money gold than there is in circulation. That's how the elite covertly murder nation. Ever notice how the struggle never ends? The rising cost of living, now we're all running deep.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you a keeper or abolitionist of usury? This is the true debate between debt slaves, which will lead to their emancipation. The parasitic usurers have created many Hegelian dialects, which they remain in control no matter who wins. Example, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative. Here's a good one, gold money or worthless fiat paper. The parasitic usurer can enslave the people on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. The parasitic usurer can dominate societies with big government, small government, or even no government. The people can have abundance this year once they realize that usury is the original sin of the world's monetary and economic problems. The real debate is, are you a keeper or abolitionist of the mathematic fraud of usury-based money creation and lending? The emancipation of global debt slaves is the human rights cause of all time. Jubilee 2012 via MountainHours.com. The Bible recommends a universal debt jubilee for societies which have been enslaved by usury. Usury, interest, or REBA is a mathematic fraud which always creates victims in a game of musical chairs where there is far more debt than there is money to pay it. A contract based on usury, interest, or REBA is void, as it is impossible for all borrowers to pay. The parasitic usurers can engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. Universal debt jubilee via organic money to hire the sheriff to stop enforcing the parasitic usurers' liens. Let's create a real-life miracle in 2012. It's time for the jubilee. It's constitutional, biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual, and possible. Hope, joy, and abundance in 2012. Pass on the good news. This has been a public service announcement from K-Rock, the Truth Hammer, and Mountain Hours. The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit. People counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers. MountainHours.com.
We go our own way when we shine the light. We go our own way because we know it's right. Blessings be for the people in the good fight. Hold on, cause it's gonna be using the political and spiritual, melodic to the lyrical, explicit and satirical, but utterly sincere for you. We give it away like the Chili Peppers did in the funky
moment. You're listening to Mountain Hours Revolution Radio. We are happy to announce that we've increased our membership, approaching, we've got a 62 businesses now, which accept Mountain Hours, the local organic usury-free currency which provides abundance to the people. Eventually, we will loan that money interest-free. So in a typical mortgage of 30 years, 20 years of that is interest. So who would not prefer a 10-year mortgage over a 30-year mortgage? That is a form of slavery. 20 years of your life is wasted unnecessarily under the existing usury-based lending system. We are joined today with Edmundo Santiago. He's a fellow anti-usury activist. Edmundo, you're in L.A., is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And so we were talking about modern money masters. You leave that and you're not, it doesn't specifically get into usury. It kind of just gets into history. And it doesn't get into, like, what is specifically the reform. How would you articulate to somebody, why usury is the problem and, why is it important to understand?
Well, in the Old Testament, God commanded the Jewish people not to lend at interest to their brothers, nor sell them food at interest. and there's a few other places throughout the Bible that talks about that. And like your commercial state, mathematically, it doesn't work. And I'm sure as some people have come to find out, the money that is created into circulation is only principal amount of loans. There's never the interest amount that is demanded back. That's never actually created into existence. So that's why people have to fail. That's why foreclosures happen. That's why when the money circulation, the credit is tightened up by either higher interest rates or however they do their mechanisms, then it's like pulling the rug out from mostly everybody that is holding debt, bearing interest, because everything starts to slow down. The money starts to be siphoned out of the system, and only those that are really fast or they know what they're doing can capitalize on that and become richer, while everybody else gets shafted. They just get like a tsunami coming in and taking them all out. And only those at the very high mountaintops are not touched. And that's
I like that analogy. We do have a caller, Jim from Colorado. Are you there? Did you have a question for Edmundo?
Hey, you guys doing? I commend you guys. Your efforts are right on track with what I definitely believe. I feel that one of the things that we don't talk about a lot is the possibility that human beings have another potential other than just their energy that they use. It's their ingenuity that's crushed throughout also the wage crisis and the debt crisis that we all find ourselves in. One thing I wanted to point out to your listeners is I can't seem to get on to the Corbett Report anymore. Seems like it's been removed completely off the air and off the online scenario. So just wanted to point that out too.
Okay. Did you have a question for myself or Edmundo?
I just wanted to call and commend you guys. I think you guys are right on track. And I just wanted to also focus on, the fact that it's also the people that you know have the mindset and constitution of being in debt and not creating wealth for themselves, and what that means, what wealth really means besides money. It's assets and asset building.
Okay. Well, I thank you, caller. I appreciate the call. And Edmundo, with respect to some people will talk about right off the top is like this is one of the common things people will say when people are getting foreclosed on. They'll go, oh well, they shouldn't have borrowed money, or they are unqualified, or they are lazy. What do you say to that individual who basically blames the borrower in this scheme? What do you say to them for those individuals who blame the borrower that they are unfit and those sorts of things?
Right. I just wanted to mention real quick with Jim, when he touched upon how the ingenuity and the creativity, and that's so true. I had a professor, a music professor at the junior college that I went to, and he was informing us that the defunding of the arts in school and certain other teaching programs, to use that word, program, it saps people's creativities and ingenuity to think way outside the box, and we've been conditioned. Schooling, the public schooling, is more of a assimilation, breeding more like foot soldiers in the same kind of robots than people that actually think for themselves. So I just wanted to touch upon that. I think that's something along the line that he sees. As far as people with the blame shift from the shenanigans that these people that know the game, to blame it on people that were sold a product, they're sold a dream. What's the American dream? Let's just use the narrative. What's the American dream? To own your own house, right? To be independent, and hopefully retire, and you don't have to worry about anything, and watch your kids grow up and be successful as well. However the platitudes, but these people were sold mortgages, and most of them did not know what they were getting themselves into, number one, or they knew what they were getting themselves into because the broker, the loan agent, was kind of like giving them, you know, the thumbs up, like, hey, don't worry about it. You can get in this right now, real cheap, and then in a year you could refi, and then, you know, your payment will be X amount, and you could just ride it on out. And they, the thought of having to pay interest is just like an automatic, like we breathe air. But let me tell you, air is necessary, but the interest is only necessary for those that it benefits, and it does not benefit anyone else other than you being a capital owner and not having the conscience to realize how that destroys everyone else and only benefits you. And that's like the epitome of greed, the epitome of selfishness right there, in my opinion. So,
yeah, the love of money is the root of all evil, and that love of money is manifested in this fraudulent contract. All interest-based contracts are based upon a fraud because, if you know, hypothetically, if 10 people borrow at $100,000 apiece, even at 1%, a very, very low interest rate, they only have circulated among them $1 million. How do they pay the 10% on interest, even if the money's based on gold, silver, paper, or digits? So what we like to express is that it's a certainty that there will be foreclosures. It's impossible for all of the borrowers to fulfill their contract in an interest-based lending scheme. It's a mathematic fraud just like a Ponzi, and ultimately it will always create victims. So I wanted to get into one of the things we are discussing a little bit today. You know, some people will say, oh, you know, I'm out of debt, I don't care about usury, et cetera, et cetera. Well, even when you're out of debt, you still pay usury via the income tax and the property tax. So we're hoping to get into that because that's like a new thing that a lot of people, they understand usury as it applies to a mortgage. But how can you articulate basically when you pay, when we pay our interest, our income tax, we're actually paying usury on the private Federal Reserve notes. How can you describe that for the listeners?
Well, when you sign a promissory note to the bank and you say, I promise to pay X amount of dollars for this house, they use that as the proof that they have you on the hook, and then they create money with that. But the reality is there is no money in circulation because if you just read the contract of the paper money itself, if you just read what it says, the terms, it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So when it says this note, what is a note? A note is an IOU. A note is a debt instrument. So this debt instrument is legally tendered. Tender is money, legal money, for all debts, public and private. So this debt instrument is money for all debts. So how do you pay a debt with a debt? I'm probably not doing a good job at explaining this, but I have
a focus is that, you know, what I was getting at in our discussion today a little bit on architects and engineers is that basically the when we pay our income tax, the Federal Reserve creates all of the money as a debt with interest, and the interest payment on that created private Federal Reserve note, the interest, is called income tax. Basically, in 1913, the Federal Reserve was established along with the 16th Amendment. That wasn't a coincidence. You're familiar with what we're talking about. It's basically when we pay our income tax, it doesn't pay for social programs, it doesn't pay for the military. All it is every year they refinance the debt, and then we make interest-only payments on that debt as all of our money is borne as a debt with interest, and the income tax is just the usury, the interest on the creation of Federal Reserve notes.
The different mechanisms of taxation It's all tribute. That's what we have. We have a legal system of tribute to the owners of that system and all who support it. And a lot of people support it indirectly through their ignorance. They have no idea. They have no idea how they support it, how they contribute to it, because they're just getting paid. They're just looking at the next paycheck. Now, but by definition, it is a form of tribute that you pay. Legally, as far as de jure, which is by right, which is like the purpose of what the Constitution was established and state constitutions, you cannot be taxed on your labor because that's just direct slavery. You cannot be taxed on your labor. Only your assets, only those things that you have created that work on their own, like your money or your business, that could be taxed. And that, when you consider, is a benefit of doing business in a country or a state or a city, depending on, you know, whatever rules they have and how they help you in your business, that's the recompense to the state and to the people that serve in those offices to keep you in business and, you know, whatever you're doing. Hopefully you're making a good widget that everybody loves and it helps them out and the prices are right and, you know, you make your little bit, everybody enjoys whatever you made. But that's when taxation is actually lawfully drawn out. But on your direct labor, that is slavery. And that was another ruse that was passed, just like the Federal Reserve being passed as a lie. So was the income tax passed as a lie. Now, I wanted to just mention real quick.
Go ahead. I just wanted to change gears. We've got about 10 more minutes out of this hour on the show. Is to get into property tax and that how that is actually usury as well. Pretty much when we're paying income and property tax, it goes toward private banks. It does not go to social programs or public works, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where we're going next.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick with the mortgages. Actually, you cannot never pay the mortgage back, and that's why a lot of people could can get that principal amount eliminated because it was a fraud to begin with. And all you have to do is combat by law the fact there is no real money, there's no lawful money in circulation. It's a dead instrument. But that's a whole rabbit hole in itself, and that's something that I'm trying to help people now that are being foreclosed on, because it's all the legalese. It's all a battle of these words, of these words. But what would you want to discuss next?
Property tax. Basically, in 1933 or prior to 33, the United States bankruptcy, the people owned their property with something called a land patent. And a land patent is where you're the true and original owner, just in a similar fashion. If you buy a car, you have the original certificate of manufacture. You don't have a title. You have a certificate of origin. When you have a certificate of origin, you actually own that thing. As soon as you title it over, you actually assign that title to the bankers, effectively, and then they charge you a rental fee. So what we call property tax is actually rent on a deed where we are listed as the tenant, and the real owner is the entity which bankrupted the United States in 33 through the application of usury on gold and silver money.
That is correct. Now, that's exactly what the colonists and those who were escaping the tyranny, because the king owned all the land and they had to pay a tribute every year just to live on the land. They didn't own anything. They were just peasants, even the merchants. Every living person that was not royalty, part of that nobility, had to pay tribute to the king for their existence. And they come over here. Now, let's be clear. This land was also robbed from the inhabitants that were here prior. So we have to look at that reality. And then we have to look at the reality that people came here. And yes, they established after there were specific people that committed genocide, you know, through greed and desire, you know, fresh land,
racism.
You know, exactly. We can go into all that, and it's just nearsightedness. You know, we just see the dark nearsightedness of some people. Even people that had great things to say and they made great strides. You know, we're all fallible. That's what we all got to realize. We're all fallible. But they escaped. They came here. They established this, and outright ownership, like you say, in a land patent. Just like you create the next amazing cell phone, you get a patent for that. That is your invention. That is yours. You actually own it, and you can bequeath it to whoever you want to, leave it to whoever.
We've got a break here. We're going to be back, and we're just going to touch up on this topic about how property taxes are actually tribute. It is a form of usury toward the parasitic usurers.
If you seek, then you shall find that we all come from the divine. You dig what I'm saying? Now, if you take heed to the words of wisdom that are written on the walls of life, then universe...
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So historically, 100 years ago, the people did not pay income or property taxes. It's only after the people were bankrupted and all of their property was seized during the 1933 bankruptcy. Sometimes the property was seized in the physical form through FDR's executive gold order, that you can look that up right on Google image search. That money, because the people were bankrupted, went to the private for-profit International Federal Reserve. In addition to that, all of the people's private property was pledged. So from then on, the people were debtors in possession. Even after their debts were paid off, they still paid, you know, they changed the words. They call it property tax, but really what it is rent, because we are listed as the tenant on our deed. And then prior to that, we were, had a land patent. Do you have anything to add to that? I like your phraseology, Edmundo. It's a tribute for the king.
Yeah, it, by definition, it is tribute. Historically, it's a continuation of Rome. That's all. It really. It's that whole empire, the concept, what people define as communism. I mean, all the isms really is just a different name for the same type of slavery that we see. It's a payment of tribute, and yeah, it went from being a land patent, you owned it outright, which was the whole point of people coming to this country, so they could be free and have their own stuff and not have to continue to work and pay interest. But then it changed to a grant deed. You are granted, you know, now the government, the state grants you this property for the time being, so long as you pay your property tax. So, and that's what's interesting. That was years ago when I was doing real estate, I realized that. I go, wow, a house could be completely in debt, encumbered in debt, but you'll lose it if you don't pay your property taxes. In the third year, so it's the third if the third year you don't pay property tax, the house is gone, regardless of if you owe it free and clear or you owe money on it, the state takes it back. And that was something that I didn't understand back then. I just noticed, I'm like, oh, well, I got to pay the property tax. You know, you just kind of accept because that's the way the rules are. I didn't have the bigger concept as I do at the moment. But by definition, it is tribute. All these things are tribute. It, even the registration of your car. You actually register the ownership of your private property with the state for to drive on the roads. But dig this. We cannot be refused our right to travel. And it's all legalese, Wayne. It's all what I'm starting to find out. It's all legal terminology, what people call word magic, that tricks other people that are unknowing and don't understand these things, or don't comprehend, I should say.
Yeah, and a big part of this, too, is we want people to understand is that, you know, me personally, I'm not against taxation. I'm against forced taxation through coercion and violence. And what we want to do is replace that with tariffs, which are, you know, you can... work around paying a tariff by buying things locally or paying sales tax, which supports the local economy truly, as opposed to these other forms of usury or tribute, that revenue is all whisked away in the exact same way that Walmart whisks the wealth away. These local franchises, your local bank, when you pay that, you know, 20 years of interest, it's taken away. So anyway, Edmundo, can you stay over? I want to. I have another guest in the next hour, but I'd like to have you follow up so we can link to your site. So please stay for a couple minutes in the next hour.
But it doesn't
matter. Sure, thank you.
Because it's just a ride, and we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one.